They're drilling outside too, so there's all kinds of commotion going on here. But right now, I invite you to hear the word of the Lord. It is a long passage this morning. Chapter 21, the book of Genesis, chapter 21, verses 8 through 21, in case you want to read along at home. Genesis 21, 8 through 21. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac." And the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Be not displeased because of the lad and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. For through Isaac shall your descendants be named. And I will make a great nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning, and he took bread and a skin of water, and he gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water and the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down over against a good way off, about the distance of a bowshot. For she said, "Let me not look upon the death of the child." And as she sat over against him, the child lifted up his voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him fast with your hand, and I will make him a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with a bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. This is the word of the Lord and can be trusted. Feels like I'm rushing through this, doesn't it? I'm so sorry about that. But it is Father's Day, and I thought I would share with you some good old dad humor. All right, so for those of you who are animal lovers out there, what do you give a dog that has a fever? Mustard. Mustard. Because everybody knows that mustard is good on a hot dog. Isn't that funny? Okay, I used it last year too, but it's a good one. It's a good one. For the physicists and chemists of you out there, why can't you trust an atom? Because they make up everything. I tell you, I'm cracking myself up. Oh, my poor kids, when they were growing up, sometimes Diana would be away, maybe up in Louisville, and they'd want to stay up, and they'd go, "Can we watch TV? Can we watch TV?" And I would tell them, "Yes, you can watch as much TV as you want while Mom's away. Watch it all you want." And they go, "Really?" I go, "Really?" And they go, "Okay." And then I said, "Just don't turn it on." Oh, they didn't like that joke at all. Here's one not to try. Maybe you're one of those fathers who get up early. Maybe you do a little bit of a workout. You come home, you take your shower, you get dressed, you go to work, just as your wife is beginning to wake up. This is one not to try. As she's stirring, you do not say, "Boy, is it muggy outside." Because she's going to look at you and say, "So help me, if you put all the coffee mugs outside, you'll be sleeping on the couch for a week." Don't try that one. Don't try that. And never, ever, ever trust a five-year-old to keep their mouth shut when you say, "Don't tell Mom." You will find yourself sitting in timeout while the rest of the family is having ice cream. Speaking of timeout, Abraham and Sarah need to be put in timeout. Did you hear what they did in our Bible passage? Anybody who thinks that the Bible was all about family values clearly has not read the Bible. This is hardly a stained glass Hallmark story. There is blatant unfairness and injustice. There is jealousy and rivalry, and there is a failure to act responsibly. This is a story that begins with evil, and yet it ends with divine grace. Clearly, Abraham and Sarah are cold-hearted, calloused, cruel jerks. Do they not hear what they are saying? Do they not see what they are doing? What is the matter with them? This is what happens when you let fear run your life, when you always want to be in control. It can cause you to say and do hateful and hurtful things. Look at what happens to Hagar and Ishmael. There is disrespect. Ishmael's not even named in this story. And although Hagar is identified, she's never spoken to, except for by the angel. Sarah refers to Hagar and Ishmael as that slave woman and her son. And Abraham doesn't speak to either of them when he puts them out. Not only are Hagar and Ishmael treated shamefully, they are put at risk. Their very lives are put in danger not for anything they've said or done, but for simply being who they are. They are targets of vicious cruelty. And unfortunately, we've seen way too many examples of people who are targeted simply for being who they are. Some of you may have been the targets of such attacks. Maybe some people have said and done hateful and hurtful things to you. So Hagar and Ishmael are kicked out of camp and kicked into the wilderness, and the water runs out, and the food runs out, and their strength gives out, and Hagar just can't bear it anymore. She puts Ishmael under a bush and goes about a bow shot away. She doesn't want to see him die, but she can still hear him cry. And then I imagine she lets God have it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever let God have it? Have you ever shook your fist and screamed at God, "Do you not see what is happening? Do you not see the injustice? Do you not hear the pain? Where are you? Why aren't you doing something about this?" You may remember back in chapter 16 when Hagar is pregnant and Sarah is abusive and Hagar runs away. And an angel comes to Hagar to reassure her. And out of that experience, Hagar names God the one who sees. In fact, earlier this year, Chris Del Mastro wrote a beautiful devotion about the encounter on her devotion, April 8th of 2020. All Hagar can see right now is injustice, pain, and death. And she cries out of desperation and grief and hopelessness. And God answers. And Hagar remembers that her name for God is El Rio, the one who sees. And Hagar remembers the name of her son, Ishmael, means God hears. Through the story of Hagar and Ishmael, we know that no matter how we are treated by others, no matter how uncertain our future may look, no matter how hopeless things may seem, God sees, God hears, and God redeems. And when we are in that situation, when things have gotten so dry and parched and close to death that we feel like we can't watch it anymore, because watching something you love that much suffer or possibly die is just too painful. When we hear the cries of others and know that we are helpless to help them out and that our own heart is broken, because part of being in the desert is feeling deserted. when we question how we can believe in living water when we are dry as dust. And God answers, I hear, I see, I redeem. And then God shows us wells of water in the wilderness, hope where there was only hopelessness, a promise that we can trust after we have been betrayed. This story reminds us how God sees us and our need, hears us in our cries, redeems us from our hopelessness. Sometimes that redemption is a different future than the one we thought. Hagar and Ishmael end up with a future that no one would have imagined. Ishmael becomes the father of a great nation. Muslims are cousins to Jews and Christians because we all trace our roots not to Abraham, but through Abraham, because our roots and the roots of all people go to God. We are all God's children, and God sees, and God hears, and God redeems all of God's children. God sees every painful misery. God hears every heartbroken sob. And God provides, not an instant escape, but a well, some water, and another day, and then another, and then another. And on each day, a new future is built, and a new promise is fulfilled. Did you know that Hagar is the only woman in the Old Testament who gets to pick out a wife for her son? All kinds of new joys and discoveries abound. God's grace went beyond what Abraham and Sarah saw or feared and tried to control. They could kick Hagar and Ishmael out of their camp, but they couldn't kick them out of God's plan. They could kick them out of their family, but not out of God's family, because God's grace includes all of God's children, because God sees, God hears, and God redeems. Amen. We come now to an opportunity to give thanks for the gifts you have given to the church for ministry and mission. To you, I want to say thank you very much. But let's lift our hearts now to God. Lord our God, we are grateful for these gifts, but we especially are grateful for the way you continue to provide for us, sometimes in surprising ways, reminding us that you do see, that you do hear our cries, reminding us that you do indeed give us abundance. Give us, Lord, eyes to see, ears to hear your voice to us, reminding us of your promise to always be with us. We give you thanks, Lord, for all of your gifts to us. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Sometimes on Father's Day, families may try to do some kind of a special celebration. I don't imagine too many restaurants are in the plans, but maybe a special meal is being planned, being cooked, being provided. Here at this table, God has provided, God, our Heavenly Father, has provided for us a very special meal. It's one we're able to celebrate knowing that God loves us, God cares for us, and has provided grace for us. For on the night when the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it and said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank you for providing for us, that even when times in our wilderness wanderings, you are with us, that you see our need, that you hear our cry, And you have provided for us grace and forgiveness, love and understanding. You have provided your Son as our Savior. We pray now, Lord, that you would be with us as you have consecrated this bread and this cup. We pray, Lord, that we ourselves would also be consecrated to your purpose and to your will. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Now we come to our time of invitation. If you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is our invitation to you to be able to receive that gift. It's a gift God wants you to have. And the way you receive that gift is you answer two questions. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And have you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior? You say yes to that, and God's grace comes into your lives. For those of you who have already made that confession of faith, we live it out each day. And so at the end of our worship service, we have our opportunity to be able to give an affirmation of that confession. And so I ask you now, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And have you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior? God bless you, and amen.